because they have been working on my family, and they've given my family an unnatural burden. They have put unusual misery and unusual temptation before my family. Yes. Well, I understand it. I don't hate them. Because they've been dealing with a foe, an enemy that's too much for them. So I don't hate them. I hate the devil. That's the one I charge it up to. I charge all of it to the devil. Yes. Although they have their part in it. But the big problem is not them. The big problem is the devil. Oh, yes. Now, Elijah Muhammad Jr., he came with me today. He's been selling publications. He needs money. He can't live without some income unless somebody don't give him money. He has dignity. He don't want nobody to be giving him charity. I want all of you to treat him like you would anybody else. Don't single our family members out for special treatment, whether good or bad. Treat him according to what justice requires. He's a son of the late leader. He has stayed with us. He's still with the new leadership. He's to be given credit just as any believer is to be given credit. All right. He supports his brother who teaches something basically, fundamentally different, especially in its spiritual content, from that was taught by his father. But he will tell you right now, he'll stand up here and tell you, I'm with my brother. If you do justice by him, you will say, he is an outstanding man in this community. Because, you know, families always think they're proud, think they're equal, and families don't come together. When the rich one and the family, the poor one in the family goes, history tells us that family members get at each other's throats. That's history. They don't support each other. They fight each other over the inheritance. This is history. Now, if we got family members, if we got children of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad who are not fighting us over the labor and produce or products of the community, but say I'm with the leader, I think they are outstanding. They are not ordinary people. They are outstanding people. And we should recognize them as such. All right? Okay. If you do that, you will give the wound that my family members have suffered, the sigh that is needed. That's justice. Oh, yes. So, Elijah Muhammad Jr., we call him Elijah Muhammad II sometimes, because Jr., you know, that's not Islamic. They say Elijah Muhammad II or something like that. But anyway, it's okay, too. It's nice. But will you please stand? This is Elijah Muhammad Jr. Praise Allah. You know, the embracing is very nice. That's family-like. But the best is to say, I give you my hand, and you say, I don't like it like that, Wallace. Put your hand on top of mine. Yeah. And you say, your hand is over mine, Wallace. You are my leader.
Your hand is over mine, Wallace, and you are my leader.
Yeah. Praise be to Allah. Well, see, I know that. He didn't. I wanted him to show you that.
No, I mean that. He didn't have to tell me that. Now, he just was demonstrating how best to do it before you.
That's right.
All right?
That's
and
right.
I'm with him and always will be to death, brothers and sisters. And
praise
let's stand
Allah.
Up and defend the man.
Praise be to Allah.
We have always done. Praise be to Allah. Let's quit bullshitting and follow and hold this man up, brother. This is the world's greatest leader we ever had. And I'm not emotionally because he have did something. And whoever he is talking about, if he think he haven't did nothing, he have made a fool, a rational man, brother. And I regret the things that I did against you in the way of captainship, all right? But I'm proud of being that captain now for that day.
Yes, right.
All right?
That's right.
Thank you, brother.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Praise be to Allah. Praise be to Allah. And I'm proud of his captainship too. He did what he could do in that time and in that situation. That's right. He worked for the objectives of that order. He was loyal to it, and I'm proud of his captainship too. And we all should be. That's right. We got to get out of this baby sensitivity. You know. Oh yes. Okay, now we're going to bring this to a conclusion. And remember that what I've offered you is the blessings of Allah. And nothing is better than the blessings of Allah. I'm no prophet. I'm just a man that God has blessed with insight to see what he intended, what he gave the prophet, and what he intended for the people. And God has blessed me with the insight to see that. And what I offer you is the best. I don't expect to die. I feel like God has given me some Cheerio power. Look like I'm going to do real good. For a while, the back was looking like it was going to get me down, you know. But the back is getting better now. I can stand up and everything long. You see? So I don't expect to be leaving. I'm almost 49. But they have men over there in the Himalayan mountains living 139, 169. Yeah. Now, I know this ain't the Himalayan mountains. But look here. As long as you need me, Allah will keep me here. So I ain't thinking about dying. And if Allah keep us here for another 8 years, good God Almighty. Oh, we have so many people around here that can do what I can do now. Until the next sweet meeting. As-salamu alaykum.
We got to sit down now because we got to be in order, right? Or we stand up together or we sit down together. Yes. But we got to be in order, all right? We can't stand up over there, brother. We're coming out that way over there. Let's be seated, please. Thank you very much. Takbir!
Allah!
Takbir!
Allah!
Takbir!
Allah!
Thank you.
Alhamdulillah. I'm going to read these few announcements, brothers and sisters. Please listen very carefully. The American Muslim Mission is presently campaigning to have Imam Wahidatuddin Muhammad on the Phil Donahue Show.
Right.
All believers are asked to write letters. Takbir!
Allah!
All believers are asked to write letters to the show in care of Miss Darlene Hayes in support of this campaign. These letters should be mailed during the week of May the 22nd through the 29th. For the letter format and additional information, please contact the secretarial office in the rear. The New York chapter of the AMCOP presents its first annual banquet, July the 16th, 1983, 6 to 10 p.m., 551 Grand Street, New York, New York. Singles, $20, couples, $30, and seniors and teens are $12. Guest speakers, entertainment, honorees, dinner served. Contact Samira Safia or either Naima Balea. Is Sister Safia here or Sister Naima Balea? Please stand up. Alhamdulillah.
That's a good ring. All right. That's a good ring. When you got the rings in your hand, when you say, okay, all right, come on up. That's enough of that goddamn one. Hold up. Now, that's a good ring, you see. And the Quran, Allah says, the process by which he brings understanding, insight, knowledge to us from rain. In the Quran, it's not that kind of bloody rain. Say, it's a gradual, it's a constant but gradual rain. It's not a heavy downpour. It's a light downpour. But it continues until that enough. Therefore, there's enough. There's a temporary stop. It stops until all that's used, until it needs more. Then when it needs more, it brings down again. That's how the Quran came. The Quran came, and like, what you call it? Period. Came in period. There was a period of revelation. Revelation was coming to Prophet Muhammad, and it gave him enough for that period, and then it checked. Didn't flood it out, didn't round him, checked. And then after they digest that and use it, and God saw that they're ready for war, situation called for war, the revelation came again to Prophet Muhammad. And it came to him like this over a period of about 21 years, I think. Over a period of about 21 years, it came to him like this until it was completed. And when it was completed, then it was given to us, and now we know how to water the field. We know how to grow the crop. We can have production on land. Can have production on land. Praise be to Allah. But if you flood the land out, you can't have no production on land. You got to swim or get in a boat. Now let's go back to Noah again, and let's read these two words from the Quran. Allah said in the Quran that Noah was worried about one of his descendants. And this descendant of his was not respecting Noah as the leader. He was doing his own thing instead of following Noah. But naturally a father loves his son, so Noah pleaded to God, "So God, what about my son? What about my descendant?" God says to Noah, said, "He's not your descendant. His deeds are not righteous." So here the language tells us that this is not blood, flesh and blood kind of a method. This is talking on a higher plane, right? So he's not your son. So he doesn't follow righteousness. And Noah had curiosity, so he wanted to know, what is this? Why are these problems like this? And God said to Noah, "Don't pursue that you have no knowledge of. Don't pursue things that offer no sense, no knowledge." All right. And Noah said to God, after seeing God's guidance, Noah said to God, "Father Rabbi, inni a'udhu bika an as'alaka ma laysa li bihi 'ilm wa illa taghfir li wa tarhamni akun min al-khasirin." This is the Arabic language, the language of Quran, just as it came to Prophet Muhammad. Now let's get to English. Noah said, "My Lord, my Rabb, my Lord who raised me, surely I seek you for protection against the tendency to ask about things that does not offer me any understanding or guidance, knowledge, anything. Why have I chosen to give this verse from the Quran? Because that's our situation. That's the situation many of us are in, that situation. We are pursuing the unknown. We're pursuing mysticism. Oh, you can get us together if you will sell black magic. You can have hundreds of thousands of African Americans So we pursue it. And God says that's a problem. That's another grounding situation. It grounds out your senses. It separates you from the land. So Noah, in learning the lessons that God gave him, he promised God, "You won't find me doing this no more, God. And I'm not going to be pursuing fantasy and pursuing mysticism. I'm going on the land. You just show it to me. If you make that land appear, God, I'm ready to go out and get back into the land." Dear beloved people, if the African-American people, not only African-American people, if the African people, those who are in the Islamic guys, or those who are enlightened in Africa, there's hope for them. They're doing things. But believe me, they have a problem over there too. It's too much of this problem in Africa. If we can get that problem out of the African people, we will make more progress on this earth. And the white man will get more respect for us as a nation or as a people. That's what we have to do. And this is no easy job. I just can't come out here and tell you, look, we're going to have cultural programs, we're going to organize our musicians, we're going to organize our vocalists, we're going to do this, and we're going to make some money. That's not the answer. 369. I hope you're getting me. Maybe somebody remember this. 369, the goose drunk wine. The monkey did the shimmy on the street all right. The lion broke. The monkey got choked. And they all went to heaven on a little vinegar. We don't want that situation. So we don't want to just give you the wine of cultural excitement. That would be our end. That would be our fate. The goose would drink wine. And we'll have the shimmy, and the line will break, our car will be down, and we'll have to go to heaven on our own vehicle. And that's a bad way to go to heaven. In fact, that's the way we went to heaven. Green power, black destiny forgotten, green power, money, fast life, spending, cocaine, jewelry, Rose Ross, that's going to heaven on our own billy road. So it says, if you don't pardon me, God, if you don't pardon me, and if you don't have mercy on me, then I am sure to be among the losers. This is a person who believes in God. That's a prophet. Now, we as Muslims, if we gain wisdom from studying the Quran, if we gain insight from the lectures that we give, then we should be in the same spirit of the prophet. When we see ourselves coming out of the drowning water of our emotional confusion, we should stay like him. When we see ourselves free from this tendency to follow superstition, to follow black magic, to follow mysticism, to follow Jesus on the cross, when we are free from that, and we're getting in the world, and we're doing something productive, and we have real goals on the land, we should stay like the prophet. God, if it wasn't for you pardoning me, if it wasn't for you having mercy on me, surely I would still be among the drowning ones, among the losers. All right, let's go. Now I want to shift gears a little bit. I don't know what year that was. I think it was neutral. But let's shift gears a little bit now. A man goes and applies for a job. And the employer says, "Do you have any experience?" Now, most of the time, if you say no, that's it, right? That's it. He wants your job record. He wants to know what you've been doing to see if what you've been doing gave you training or experience that he can use in that particular business. All right. So if you say no, most of the time he say, okay, I'm sorry. We're looking for somebody with experience. But sometimes he can see promise in you. And he said, okay, you don't have any experience, but I see so much promise in you. He won't tell you that. But he'll say, all right, we're going to give you a chance. And he accepts your application. And he gives you a chance to learn on the job, right? So he hired you not on experience. He hired you on promise. Right? Your makeup. Your character. And more important than that, your ambition. He saw that you was an ambitious person. Say, well, this person has all of this desire to do this. I bet not miss this person. Don't have the experience, but all this desire, if they just learn the job, might turn out to be the best person in my company. Right? Alright, so what am I talking about now? I'm about to spell the word apron. I believe it's spelled A-C-R-E. Is that how you spell apron? Apron left. A-C-R-E? Yes, okay. A-C-R-E spelled apron. Now, I'm about to spell that word acre. Acre is a measure of land that is for production, food production, right? Agricultural production. And we know that from agricultural production, you get the raw goods, the raw materials for making clothes too, right? They raise sheep on the farm, they raise cows on the farm, we get leather goods, we get wool goods, wool good clothing, we get all kinds of things from the farm, right? So it doesn't only feed us from the farm, we also clothe ourselves, right? Food, clothing, and from the farm we also get materials to build homes, enclosures, houses, trees on the land too, right? Trees, timber, and other things that we can use to build nice houses. In fact, if you got the land, you also got the minerals of the land, right? Clay for brick house, metal for making tools. So if you got the land, you got resources. The Army like Muhammad, he bought thousands of acres of farmland. And you know what he asked the people? He said, are there any minerals on this land? They say, we believe so. He said, okay, we don't want this side of land, we want the mineral rights too. Because the law is very tricky. You can buy land, and they come back and say, look, this is your land, but you didn't buy the mineral rights when you bought this land. They come on your land and take out millions from under your soil because you didn't know that you had to also include mineral rights in the purchase. Right? Somebody hips on Elijah Muhammad. He knew that. I'm glad I'm this son. Even though he called white people devils and talked about them like they were less than dogs. I'm proud of his son. In fact, I'm proud to be called his son, son of Elijah Muhammad. But Brother Evans, how come you talked about his teaching? How come you brought out those problems? Because I want to get to the promised land. And whatever's in the way, you got to go. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, he sits back somewhere, as a spirit or a ghost, I don't know, whatever state he's in, he's saying, go, son! Go, my man! Go! Oh, praise Allah! Oh, what be Muhammad! So I don't hear what anybody else is saying. Oh, you betrayed your father. You didn't keep the order that he established
Ah, forget you. Wake up or get back. So we're talking about two things here. We're talking about promise or potential and experience. All right? Man will hire you not on your experience, but he'll hire you because of the potential he sees in you. So we're going to spell Asia right now. We're going to stop the first letter. The first letter is E. Ability. All right. This is the land you need before you get the physical land. All right? You can get the physical land, but if you don't have the insight, you don't have the wisdom, you won't be able to keep that land. Because those who will war with you to take that back from you, they have instruments of war superior to yours. All right? When you see life with the vision, the eyes of guidance, divine guidance, oh, you're not going to desert life. You're not going to turn your back on your noble objectives. You're not in the race for just a moment. You're into it forever.
Right.
That's right. And that's what we need. The white man is working at progress forever.
Right.
We work at progress until it gets bad for us. Until it gets hard. Then we sit down, we give it up. My brother, Elijah Muhammad Jr., he said, what happened to all the buildings that Father Zion had here in New York? Did they lose those? The brother said, yes, they lost them to the government, taxes. That man was a Christian. But wasn't he trying to do something material? Didn't he have a welfare department? Where blacks, they have to go to whites, they can come to him, they can get flour, they can get sugar, they can get some butter. I haven't forgot what he did. And he was growing. He was growing material. He was trying to grow material. And we can name many others. Before him, Marcus Garvey. They had got into trade, buying ships. Going to get out on the ocean to do trade with Africa, right?
Right.
What happened to it? Gone. White man sits back and laughs at us. Oh, here's another legal movement. See? And then he go at it again. Say, will they ever learn? Say, let's pretend like we want to stop them, see? Until they get a whole lot of it. When they get a whole lot of it, we see that they go on as far as they can go. They can't accumulate no more. At the peak of their material growth, then let's do it again, baby. Let's take the nigga's money. That's the trap that they set for us. They let us go. They see a strong effort by blacks to establish some material dignity. They let it go. They pretend like they don't like it or something, but they let it go. Sometimes they pretend they like it. And they let it go until they see that you have reached your highest point and that you ain't gonna be able to do so more. Then they come at you with law, they come at you with this and with that, and they end up getting your labor, your production. Is that not true?
Right.
Look what we did as the law foundation of Islam. Look how long Elijah Muhammad set poor people out. With poor means, with poor money, poor people's money, with just kids, nickels, dimes, quarters, sent them out, and how he built up great economic base. And economic base, anytime you got $15,000 upwards of land, and you got a plan to develop that land, and bring the produce and raw material into manufacture to the market, and into the manufacturing process, you have an economic base. Anytime you got a bank, to handle your financial business, you got an economic bank. Land, workers, factories, canning up company, head off, stick on the farm, printing press, bank. When you got that kind of combination, you got an economic bank. White man, he sit back and watch until you accumulate it, do a great thing, and then he comes in. They want you to believe that the material fall or the economic fall came with me. They want you to believe that so you will never know that the white man brought that fall about. That Cooper had designed a plan to take the economic base out under us at the proper time. Not when life is alive. Don't call just the people's hero. Reagan said and eulogized him. Look how the mayor, look how the white man paid tribute to the Western Army Elijah Muhammad just before his death. They start sending tributes to him from the mayor, from this mayor, from that mayor, from people in the government, praising the Holy Elijah Muhammad for his great work, just before he died. Look how they praised him just before he died. Eulogized him. All right. They say, oh, attack the hero and rouse the people. Wait till the hero dies. And then get their production through our system, the court. It happened to Gandhi. It happened to Duale. It happened to Father Divine. It happened to that group that had the radio network, the Black Radio Network. It happened to all. They wait until the people are not looking at what they're doing. They don't want to excite the people. And they create a situation that'll make it look like this is happening naturally. We didn't plan this. It's happening naturally. No, when I came into office, charity was supporting business. That's the situation I came into. Donations, charity from poor people was supporting their businesses. Now, if the government can't afford it, at this particular time, and it looked like they could afford it at any time, honestly, if they can't afford to take care of all of the poor people, to give them welfare, if they can't afford to finance poor people's businesses, what does poor people look like trying to finance their business? You have to make businesses stand on their own. Business has to be business. Business has to have the strength. It has to have the promise in itself to stand by itself. Those businesses couldn't stand by themselves. If it wasn't for the donations, the businesses would have all stopped before I came into office. That's the fact. All right? Some things need money, but so many things were losing money that the businesses were not profitable. And then the government knows this. They know this. You don't know this. You weren't the secretary. You weren't the accountant. You don't know this. You weren't the business manager. So how are you to know this? But the government had their people among us. They know this. Now, anytime the government said that Dr. Elijah Muhammad owed them taxes for business, they are damn lies. Dr. Elijah Muhammad didn't make no profit on business. You only owe money when you made a profit. He didn't make no profit. He was always operating in the red. He always had to take money out of his charity and put into those businesses. Raymond Therese knows that. Elijah Muhammad Jr. knows that. I know that. Everybody that was in or what was happening know that. I know that, possibly. All right. So what I'm telling you is that the white man, he is a warrior. He's a fighter. He is a conqueror. He's a seizer of power. He will seize power. He will seize assets. He will seize everything to make himself stronger. And if you don't get into balance, you're lost. It won't happen again. No. something up for myself. I'm not building something up for my glory. I'm serving a lost purpose. I'm working for the community. All right? They're not going to be able to say this was Wallace's saying. When I die, they won't be able to say, oh, this was his pride saying. No, you know, they know that I say this is not mine. I'm poor. I don't have nothing. I got a little car and a small home. No money in the bank now, all gone. I'm get some more to look out. My account is WDM Publication. That's my account. All right. Everybody knows that. I don't have any other account. So they ain't gonna be able to get in court and say, well, this was his money, wasn't it? This was his money, wasn't it? No. Now, you're the Muslim movement that you're talking about today. The Muslims don't fall into the same trap, huh? No. So we are protecting ourselves against legal circumstances that possibly can take us down. And at the same time, we're building up the courage and dignity in the community that says, you come at us like a crook, you're going to meet a wild man like yourself. Yeah. That's right. We have to let this world know that if they come at us like crooks, if you come at us outside of the law, if you come at us as a criminal, then you will meet somebody that don't give a goddamn about the law either. And believe me, when they know that, when they know that, they will respect you better. They'll respect you more. So we have told them, they've heard it. They're here right here today to hear what they're saying. We told them, you can come at us like that if you want to, but we are going to make you pay for treating us wrong. We're going to make you pay for taking advantage of a crooked law to rob us of our product, to rob us of our own labor. We will make them pay for it. We will make them pay more for mistreating us, more for doing us wrong, than they would have to pay to leave us wrong. And God damn it, that doesn't make sense to them. Every other ethnic group has had to do that. Do you think the Italians or the Irish or any other people could have established themselves in America without being willing to shed blood, without being willing to go to jail for what is right?
Right.
You go to jail and you shed blood, you kill each other, and you risk your own life for the narcotics.
Right. That's
right. To steal somebody's TV. Well, I'm going to dignify you. God's going to dignify you. And I am his servant. I'm a believer. I'm a faithful Muslim. I really want dignity for ourselves. We say, now, lose that same character that will make you go out there in that clown world and risk your life to get a dollar illegally. Now have the dignity to take up the same character. Come in the same church now, but for right principles, for righteousness, for justice. Have that same church. And if you will do that, then we have people. We have people. We have people that are in crime because they're victims of circumstances, because they've never been shown what is a decent life for human beings. They haven't had any examples to make them see what's right for a human person. We know we got people. We got people from the criminal, and we got people from the country. And we're going to get together, and we're going to teach this world respect for the African American person. That's the only way. This life in America is freedom, it's democracy, but it's the kind of freedom and democracy that says everything else is free too. I'm free to live a good moral life. Another man in America, he's free to live a vulgar, immoral life. I'm free to do business legally. Another man is free to do business as a criminal. I'm free to promote opportunity here. The freedom to fight for dignity here. The freedom to fight for economic justice, for economic dignity here. You only have the freedom to fight. American freedom is freedom to fight. And they will respect us. They will respect us as Americans when we demonstrate that. They will tip their hats. They will speak to you as a man. They'll invite you in to that dignified private session. They say, well, you're on our level now. So we have meetings that we didn't tell nobody about. We really don't know about these meetings. But these are the meetings we have. Would you like to come? We would be honored if you would come and be in attendance today. And you say, well, I don't know why they were doing this. They respect you then. We're going to get that respect. All right. And it's a matter of first seeing that our emotional makeup, our rhythm of life have been exploited. Everybody has used this space in our life to their advantage against us. And now we want to reconcile this cultural life with our business life, our business ambitions. We want to reconcile so that culture puts dollars in the bank as well as entertainment. And these dollars are going to be our dollars. We're going to benefit from our own resources. Whether they be emotional or rational or material, we're going to benefit from our own resources. As this man, Kenny Gamble, I'm sure you know him. He was another very successful black in the entertainment business, right? Yeah. Like Barry Gordy, right? Yeah. Kenny Gamble told me. He said, buddy man, he said, I hear you. He said, I heard the problem. He said, I hear you. He said, that's the problem. He said, we have to manage our own and control our own resources. Now, I'm sure that you have respect for him. Barry Gordy got rich. And if it wasn't for them coming out with that plan to hurt the business of Motown and these other like operations, they would still have a very good future in that business. But now that future is very dark, isn't it? Yeah, it's very dark now. We ain't gonna let this happen. Look, we don't need the record. Forget about the record. Forget about the problem that the cassettes are called. The entertainers, if they're African American, if they're with us in spirit, they represent our resource. Right? They represent our resource. So we tell the black entertainer, the black musician or whatever, say, look at here, you represent money. You represent a chance for money. All right. Are you Korean? Are you Mexican? Are you black? You know, you're like us, right? Well, don't we have a need to do what those people have done or what they're doing for themselves? Yes. Are these our resources? Yes. Okay, brother, you got the talent. We got numbers. We're poor, but we got numbers. We're going to give you our support. When we want entertainment, entertain us. If we can pool our money together and get land and provide the facilities to put on a big show, do the show for us. We promote it. You entertain. We get the money. We pay you better than the Jews.